Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I listened to Brother Shoemate even giving the announcements and so forth. Man, he gets excited, amen. And I know where he got some of that from Brother John Smith, amen. And it's been good to know he and his wife. I met his beautiful children a few minutes ago. And I tell you, it's just good to be here. Thank you. Thank you for letting me come. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's notice some things that Peter is encouraging some people that have been scattered away from their original place. And he's trying to encourage them to finish well, to stay in the battle, and so forth. By the way, it's one thing to start well, but it's something altogether different to finish well. Amen?
Amen.
And would you like to stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? He tells us in verse 1 some good things to get rid of. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Man, the world would be a better place if we just listened to that one verse. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And you remember what the psalmist said? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And isn't he good? Amen. Okay. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Is he not precious? Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which disbelieve, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. Now here is the text that I want to use tonight. And those wonderful verses lead up to this. And I don't usually do this, but the title of my message tonight is, I am what? You look at this one verse. I am what? Okay. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, the Bible. We do not question it. We do not doubt it. We stand upon it. You have promised to bless your word. And Lord, I know that you will tonight. You've not promised to bless anything I would say, but you have promised to bless your word. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us in a special way. The little bit I've been around these dear people, they've been such a blessing to me. And Lord, I'd love to be a blessing to them tonight, but I know that the only way I could do that is that you would bless and use me. You're the vine. I'm just a branch. And without you, I can do nothing. But Lord, as you blessed and helped me tonight, please anoint my mind that I could think right, my lips that I could speak right, but most of all, my heart that I would be right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You're going to anyway, amen. And I believe that one of the greatest hindrances to our being effective in the work of God is that we allow something or someone to determine what we are. It may be a insensitive parent that in our childhood said something that stuck in our mind. I was preaching in Washington, D.C. from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. And I mentioned that you are not an accident. A policeman came up to me. Big man. I mean, he hugged me and it felt like you're hugging a piece of iron. And he said, Brother Sis, that was such an encouragement. He said, from the time I was a little boy, my parents told me I was an accident. That was dumb parents, amen. But you know, an insensitive parent could just often think, you're dumb. Now, you're a troublemaker. You're a slob. Now, it might have been true, but they shouldn't have said that, okay? It may have been a schoolmate that bullied you or that called you by some bad name. I never did see any need for fighting. And so sometimes some of the boys, they would call me a sissy. Now, I don't think I was ever a sissy. I did everything, basketball, baseball, whatever kind of ball. But I just never saw any need of fighting. Now, I've got a lot of friends that just love to call themselves fighting fundamentalists. And I'm sure we need some of those, okay? But to be honest with you, I'd rather be a loving fundamentalist. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. It may have been a teacher or a boss that made some derogatory remark about your work. You're too short. You're too tall. Maybe a coach defines you as too slow, too clumsy. It may be a mirror that you looked in and that discouraged you. Let me give you four or five examples. The first grade teacher, two first grade teachers, different ones, of course, said to Albert Einstein and another great man, I can't remember his name now, but said to his parents, they are uneducable. Bottom line is the teacher was so far behind them, they were bored.
Yeah.
Now I like football, okay? And I like the story about Coach Meyer at Ohio State. Told Joe Burrow, now you'll be a good backup quarterback, but you could never be a starting quarterback. I'm glad Joe Burrow didn't listen to him. He transferred to LSU, won the national championship, was number one in the draft, and has taken his team to two Super Bowls. Yeah. Don't let somebody else tell you what
Amen.
You can do
Amen.
Or what you can't do. Let me give you two examples of good friends of mine. One of them is named Don Foster. Don Foster was blinded as a little boy. But he didn't let his blindness stop him. He excelled in grammar school. He excelled in junior high. He excelled in high school. He graduated from the University of Texas, excelled there. Came to Tennessee Temple Seminary and excelled there. In fact, he was the first one to be honored with not an honorary, but with an earned doctor's degree. He's blind. But he never let him stop. And he and his dear wife went to Fredericksburg, Virginia, and they began to knock on doors and try to win people to the Lord. And they thought, when we win people, we'll take them to a church. And they couldn't find a church. So he started a church.
Amen.
And it had been a great church for many, many years. Yes. Now, he resigned several years ago, and that's where Pastor Kurt Skelly is pastoring now. But Don Foster is one of the greatest Bible scholars in America, and he teaches at Veritas. Let me tell you one other. David Rodenheiser. When David Rodenheiser was 12 years old, he went forward in the Lynchburg Baptist Church. He said to his pastor, Dr. Jerry Falwell, and interpreted, Brother Falwell, I believe that the Lord has called me to preach. And Dr. Falwell said, now Dave, there's a lot of things you can do, but preaching is probably not one of them. And David said, I would get in a room and I'd read a verse of scripture over and over, maybe 100 or more times, so I could read it so people could understand it. And for about 50 years now, he's been pastoring a great church in Northern Virginia.
Amen.
And has 8 children, all of them in full-time Christian work.
Amen.
I mean, a great church. By the way, don't let other people tell you what you can do or what you can't do.
Amen.
By the way, our culture tries to tell us what we are. You're outdated. You're not relevant for this generation. You're narrow-minded. You're a troublemaker. And rather than allowing the culture or even yourself or somebody else to define you, why don't you just let God tell you what you are?
Amen.
So look at verse 9. Number 1, he said, you are a chosen generation. Hey, by the way, isn't it good to be chosen?
Amen.
Maybe for a baseball team or something, or as a cheerleader. You know, isn't it wonderful in things like that to be chosen?
Yeah.
I was usually chosen pretty close to the end of the line, okay? But nevertheless, it's good to be chosen. And by the way, you that are married, isn't it wonderful to be chosen?
Amen.
Did you ever look in the mirror and then look at your wife? Or maybe vice versa, okay? But think, they chose me. That's wonderful. But I tell you what is better than that, and that is to be chosen by God.
Amen.
Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
You are a chosen generation. By the way, when did you get chosen? Listen to John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Speaking of Jesus Christ, The Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen.
He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as would receive him. How many of you tonight can think back to the day, the hour, when you realized you were lost and on your way to hell?
Amen.
And you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Amen.
Lift your hand if you remember that.
Yes.
Okay, that day you were chosen.
Yes.
Huh? That God said, I'm going to give you the power to become my child. And now we're the children of God. And we know not what we shall be as we ought to know. But one day we will see him and we'll be like him. But we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
Chosen of God. What a wonderful thing. Chosen as a mate. Chosen as a team member. Chosen as a friend. You know, one of the great things that we as Christians have is that we can meet somebody and we've never known them before, but within an hour we can be friends.
Yes.
There's just that common bond.
Amen.
And one of the greatest things about my life is that all over the world I have friends.
Yes.
By the way, if you have a lot of friends, you don't need a lot of money. And I'm not bragging, but I could land in any country that I know of. And I could call somebody that would come and get me at their airport and put me up and feed me. Hey, that's great. Amen.
Amen.
And you say, well, I don't have any friends. Okay, you told off on yourself.
Yeah.
If a man is to have friends, he must show himself unfriendly. Did I quote that right? No. If a man is to have friends, he must show himself friendly.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, if you don't have any friends, you find somebody that needs a friend, and you befriend them, and
Amen.
That will develop a wonderful friendship.
Amen.
We're a chosen generation. Wow, God chose me. Now I look in the mirror often and I say, why? But that doesn't matter. He chose me. And by the way, he loves me.
Yes.
And he loves you. And sometimes we tell children wrong. Now, if you don't be good, God won't love you. My dear friend, that is a horrible statement.
Yes.
Nothing I could do would make God love me anymore.
That's right.
And nothing I could do would make him love me any less. Thank God, his love is unconditional.
Amen.
I've been chosen. He loves me. Number two, he said, you are a royal priesthood. Think about that. You are a royal priesthood. That means you're part of the family. And that means that you have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at any time, anywhere that you want to call on him. There was a preacher that preached in Highland Park years ago in the South Florida Baptist Fellowship when big crowds came, 3,000-4,000 people. And he wanted to tell everybody how great he was. And he said, even my wife and children have to make an appointment to see me. And I started singing a song. How dumb you are. How dumb you are. Virginia and I were married for 65 years. By the way, she never had to make an appointment. When she wanted to talk to me, my ears were open.
Yes.
I've got two children. And when they call me, I don't say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm busy. You'll have to call something. No. They're my children.
Amen.
And their mates are my children.
Yes.
And by the way, I've got 6 grandchildren. And they do not have to make an appointment.
Amen.
If they want to call Papa, they can call Papa anytime.
Yeah.
You're a royal priesthood. God is your Father. He has chosen you. And you can talk to Him at any time. And He exhorts us to do that.
Amen.
For we have not a high priest which can not be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. In other words, He knows us. But was in all manner tempted as we are, yet without sin. What a wonderful statement that is. In other words, whatever you're going through, Jesus has gone through that. And then He says, let us therefore, since that's true, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. Folks, is it a needy time?
Yeah.
All right. How can we get what we need? We are a royal priesthood. Now, the prophets in the Old Testament spoke to the people for God. A priest speaks for the people. Think about it. A priest. You are a royal priesthood. Could have meddled a little bit. How are you handling that position? Hey, this is for every born-again child of God. Not just for the preacher and the deacons and son. No, no. This is for every born again. You are a royal priesthood.
Amen.
How are you handling that position? How much do you pray for your family? How much do you pray for your spiritual leaders? By the way, your pastor and other staff members, they have a bullseye on their back. The devil is after them. And every born-again child of God ought to be praying for your spiritual leaders. What about your friends? What about our nation? I often wonder sometimes, if we spend as much time on our knees praying as we did listening to Fox News or CNN News one,
amen,
we'd be a whole lot better off, amen?
Yeah.
And by the way, we are commanded to pray for our leaders.
Christ.
You say, I don't like him, neither do I. But I pray for him.
Amen.
The Bible tells us we ought to do that. We ought to be good citizens. How much do I pray for a lost and dying world? As of November the 15th, the world's population reached 8 billion people. And every day about 300,000 people die. Now more than that's born, so don't worry, we're not going to run out of people. And every one of them either go to heaven or to hell. How much are we praying for a lost and dying world? How much are we praying for our missionaries,
amen,
that are trying to reach them? By the way, Paul never requested one thing for himself. But he said, pray for me. That I can speak to the people and have an open door and so forth. You are a royal priesthood. Number 3, you're a holy nation. Now, the word nation in this verse comes from the word ethnos, which means ethnic. You are in a special ethnic group. Look at it. You are a holy nation.
Amen.
A holy ethnic group. What's an ethnic group? That's people that share a distinctive culture. We have similar interests. We follow similar principles.
Yes.
We have a similar linguistics. And we practice the same religion.
Amen.
Really, I don't even like the word religion. But we are a ethnic group. A holy ethnic group.
Amen.
And the word holy means separated, different from the rest of the world.
Yes. Amen.
And by the way, I don't like the culture we're living in any more than you do. But we can develop the kind of culture in our churches
Amen.
That we are the church. You are a holy, separate. Thank God for that. Then the last thing. Since you are a part of a separated ethnic group, and by the way, we are a part of a minority group. And that's okay. Dr. Jerry Falwell years ago started an organization, and it did a lot of good. And I thank God for him. It did a lot of good, but he called it the moral majority. Now that's a bad name, because the majority has never been moral. Amen.
Amen.
So we are a part of an ethnic group, and we are a minority ethnic group. Now that don't mean we need to get something from the government, amen.
Amen.
But it means that God chose you out of the world. He didn't pray that God the Father would take them out of the world, but that he would keep them from evil.
That's right.
You're a part of a holy nation. The last one is, you are a peculiar people. Now, it'd be awfully easy to look at that word and just think of the word peculiar like we think of it as the English word. You say, yeah, I've looked around. There's some pretty peculiar people here tonight. Or you can look up here at the pulpit, yeah. That old man's kind of peculiar, amen. But actually, the word peculiar comes from a Greek word. And by the way, I don't know any Greek. I just use other people's minds. Amen. But it comes from two words, peri, which is a preposition meaning around. And the word poiesis. Something that is made or done. Now, I know most of you are not keeping notes, and that's okay. I don't blame you. I'm probably not anything worth taking notes for, okay? But would you get a piece of paper? Any kind of paper, bulletin, whatever. And I want you to see what this is saying. You are a peculiar people. Now, on that piece of paper, just put a dot. Just a small dot. Now, around that dot, draw a circle. And that's exactly what that word means. You're the dot. The circle is God. And you know what that means? That means you are a precious possession of God.
Amen.
Okay. He has a vested interest in you. And by the way, that means that nothing could get to you unless it comes from him or through him.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
And many times we think about how difficult it is to live in this world and so forth, and all the things that we have to face and so forth. By the way, God has encircled you. And nothing can get to you except it come from God or through God.
Thank the Lord.
Now the Bible tells us that the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But guess what? He's a lion on a leash.
Amen.
And he can only go so far.
Yes.
Read the book of Job. The devil could do nothing to Job until he got permission from God.
That's right.
What a wonderful truth.
Amen.
I'm peculiar. And if you know me real well, you say, yeah, yeah, we know that. But not in the sense you're thinking about. But I am a possession of God. Romans 8:28 says the same thing. Same thing. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Think about that. Aren't you glad that God didn't say, we think? No. We feel like? When Jordan Goins was run over by a drunk driver, and I heard about it. Brother Godfrey heard about the fact that he had been killed there, working at the school in Pensacola. And of course, he's the son of Matt, Brother Matt Goins down in Honduras, one of the greatest missionaries in the world. And when I heard about the death of Jordan, all I could think about was, I'm glad the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Because at that time, I just couldn't see any good could come out of that. But it will. In fact, it already has. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now let's review. You're chosen of God. When you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he chose you as his child. Okay. You are a holy priesthood. You're part of the family of God. And you can come to him at any time, anywhere in the world. You are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. I mean, when we approach God, we're approaching our Father.
Amen.
And that's the way we ought to come as little children. Come to their Father. And you are a precious possession of Almighty God.
Amen.
Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You know what he's saying? Sometimes we call a church house the house of God. But until some Christians get in here, this is just another place.
That's right.
But God dwells in me. And God dwells in you. It doesn't matter who it is. When I was a young preacher, and by the way, that's been more than 10 years ago, okay? But people would come to me, Brother Jared, and they'd say, is it wrong to do this? Is it wrong to do that? And man, and many times all I had to say, I don't know. You'll have to talk to the Lord about that. But I heard one time somebody said, when you wonder about something, this is the best thing to do. Just say, God, would you like to do that? Huh? Would you like to go there? Would you like to look at this?
Amen. Huh?
Because wherever you go, the Holy Spirit of God goes with you.
Amen. That's good.
You're a peculiar person. You're precious to God. So listen to the rest of the verse. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you're not your own. For you're bought with a price. And by the way, that price is the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, don't let the world tell you. Don't let an insensitive parent tell you. Don't let a preacher tell you what you can do and what you can't do.
Yes.
You let God tell you
Amen.
Who you are. And take that verse tonight and mull over it. Meditate on it. And thank God for what He is to you.